Beis. It says Oz Yikur Yoshua L'Rabbeinu V'Lagadu V'Chatzishet Menashe Mati Menashe. Starting with Chav Beis, that Yoshua called out to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzishet Menashe. Vayomer Leim Atem Shmatzem Kol Shir Tzivatzchem Moshe Aved Hashem. You did everything that Moshe commanded you to do. V'Dishmo B'Kol Yuzim My Words Kol Shir Tzivisiaschem L'Chol Asher Tzivisiaschem Everything I commanded you to do. But as Aptim Zachechem Zayom Rabin, you have not, thou hast not forsaken thy brothers all these many days out of Yom Hazeh until today. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed you to be resting, right, like he told you would. Go back to your tent. It's time for you to go back. Amazing. Why didn't they go up to Yoshua? Why didn't they ask Yeshua to go back? I mean, that wouldn't be the most likely. You've been waiting for 14 years to go back to your land. Now, we did learn a Pirush up above that said that they were going back and forth. Meaning, some people fought now, and then they went back, and other people came to fight, and then they went back, and whatever it is.
Maybe they didn't necessarily think it was done.
No, there's no question. But 14 years, you wouldn't go up to Yeshua. And you're right, it definitely wasn't done, but you wouldn't go up to Yeshua and say,
"What's the deal? You have to fight until we tell you not to."
So why did Yeshua give him permission then? Obviously, because something's over.
I mean,
and plus they had done the chalukah. In other words, if they were trying to do kibush more, then they shouldn't have done the chalukah. The chalukah only happened after the
natives
kibush.
Were getting restless.
That is 100% true. It does say over here, right, that where are we? They waited for him to call. They showed great respect for him. That's what they showed to Yeshua. They showed great respect. If Yeshua was our leader, we're not going to go until he comes.
That was the deal. You can have the land outside of Israel as long as you fight. So until Yeshua tells you to fighting is over, they're not going to determine themselves the fighting is over.
Now you're 100% right, although it did seem that the fighting should be over once the chalukah started. That's what I would assume.
But there were people still...
Yeah, there were still people there, that's for sure. Part of the idea of what this whole kibush was. The fourth final thing, he said that you kept the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? The respect that they did to Yeshua, and they did not come to him, they didn't demand, they presumed they waited a call, that showed their loyalty and humility, and that's that. And
yeah, we saw that, we've seen that in the previous program, about how they held them to such high esteem.
Exactly, and that's what they got to Yeshua, and that's the reason why they got extra stuff over there. Okay, that is that. There is an interesting thing that it starts off with the word Uz, as in Uz Yoshua. It was almost like a shira that Yoshua was calling out to them. Rak shimum odlas was mitzvah as Torah shir tzidatzcha. But you got to be very careful. You're going outside of our control. You got to keep the mitzvahs in the Torah that come out. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded you. Avos shem aviv alachus vokhul vachav, to love God, go in His ways. Leishmo itzosu ledav kavo, to stick to Him. Of the vokhul vachom vokhul nashem, and serve Him with all your heart and souls. They welcomed Yoshua yishalchem yochul aleihem. Yoshua blessed them, sent them away. They went back to their tents, and that is that. What he wanted to say is that with all your heart and all your souls. Reference to prayer. You're going to need tefillah more so, said Yoshua, and this is beautiful. Why did he say this? Because if you're going to be outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can't bring korbanos. If you can't bring korbanos, what are you supposed to do?
That's why it doesn't
say davening instead. It's exactly because of b'chol levavchem, and that's the idea of what it's supposed to be with all of b'chol nafshechem. It's referring to prayer. That's the idea. So you had no other choice except to do that, and that's what he was trying to tell them to do. What else we got over here? Okay, here we go. The Chatzis Shevet Menashe Nelson Moshe Mabashon the Chatzis Nelson Yoshua Yimachem Me'ever Liardin Yama. Right. So Chatzis Shevet Menashe Moshe Rabbeinu gave them in the Boshan. That half he gave on the other side of the Jordan River to the west. So in other words, Menashe was attached, just separated by the Jordan River. The Gam Kishokim Yoshua was Olayim VaYivorchem. He Olayim VaYivorchem. Yoshua also sent them away. Dirma Leim Leim Or Benachosim Rabim Shuvo Olayim. With all of your property, go back to your tents and make it Rabba. Ode Bechaz Vazov and Choshev VaBarzel VeSlamos Rabos. With all your silver, your gold, your copper, your iron, many shirts, etc. You should divide up all the spoils of your enemies together with your brothers. Now, why were they there? The answer is that Menashe was pious and faithful, that they really believed in themselves, and they were teachers. They were sent throughout the land in order to go around. Yoshua knew that they could be relied upon, that they're not going to fall prey to everything. Plus, because they'd have another part of their shevet inside Eretz Yisrael, they'd be connected to Eretz Yisrael a little bit. So Menashe was going to be the peacemaker between those in Eretz Yisrael and those outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's why Menashe was sent there. That would really, they wouldn't feel estranged. They wouldn't feel like they're away. That's the idea behind it. They did divide the spoils with their brothers who didn't go out to war. Now, normally when you divide up the spoils, you sit there like, what, they didn't go out to war. What's the difference? The answer is, they protected the women and children. There were people that were protecting the women and children and everything else that they had. So because of that, you have to split up everything together. And don't take it as, well, we fought the war, they didn't whatsoever. That's not true whatsoever. They went back. Reuven, Gad, Hashem, and Manasseh, they left Bnei Yisrael from Shiloh, right? They went to the land of Gilad, right? The land that they had taken for themselves through God from Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the idea behind it. And that's that. Now, it's an unbelievable little thing. When the soldiers returned home, they found that their children were at war against Yisur, Nafish, and Kedma, who were all daughters of Hagar, meaning from Yishmael. They're Yishmaelites. And they were fighting against their sons. So they came, they returned, but they couldn't tell which side was which. They didn't recognize their kids. Their kids had become Nazirim. Because number one, they were adults now. They were kids originally before. And number two, they had not shaved their hair. It's a playoff beard, like a hockey playoff beard. They would not shave their beard or their hair the entire time until their fathers had returned from war. They swore that they wouldn't do so until their fathers returned from war. So they sat there and they said, the Menashe and Gad and Reuben are sitting there like, who's who, who's who? We don't know what to do over here. Finally, they heard one of the sides yell out, save us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Father, God of our fathers. Right? And they said, oh, it must be that that's our side. Started fighting with them, and then they ended up defeating all the Hagarim and all of their allies and took all the spoils.
There was three separate nations that they were fighting against?
All from Yishmael, but yes.
So here?
Further east. Because it would have been Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim would have been in Saudi Arabia, right? They all together took 50,000 camels, 250,000 sheep, 2,000 donkeys, and 100,000 men. That is awesome. Kadosh Baruch Hu made them attack exactly at this moment. You get it? It had to be at this moment because they wanted to make sure, right, that the soldiers were returning, they'd be able to get them right at that moment. It was good stuff. But that's that. I also didn't tell you about the whole war against Yeniach. There's a whole medrash about Yeniach. The big question about what happened. Yeshua also fought a massive war at the very, very end right before he died. It was a crazy war where they went ahead and somebody from Shevet Reuven saved them from the war through a shofar blast. It was crazy stuff. But that's also mentioned in the medrash over here. But it's not in the Navi itself. They came to the side of the Jordan River, on the side that was still on Eretz Canaan. So they hadn't crossed over yet. And they built up, Reuven, Gad, Hashem, Manasseh, a Mizbeach on the Yarden, a huge Mizbeach that would be seen from far away. Okay? Obviously, they wanted to go home. They hadn't seen their wives and kids for so long, right? But before they went home, before they crossed over the Jordan River, they felt it was important to make a symbol. Something to remind them of what they had on the other side of the Jordan River. What this is going to be is more of a monument, like a large monument, to remind all the generations that they still have to bring Mizbeach Korbanos in Eretz Yisrael, meaning bring it all the way over there. Now notice, number one, if they wanted to use it for their own sacrifices, why would they have built it on the west side of the Jordan River? They should have built it on the east side of the Jordan River.
But that's a no-no anyways, isn't it?
Exactly. But that's clear, number one. Number two, Mizbeach was huge. It says Gadol Lamare. This is not made in order to sacrifice on. It was too huge for it. It was clear that it wasn't made that way. Plus, they also made the entrances and the exits the wrong way. They made it extremely large. It was clear that it was supposed to be a memorial. Now, why they do this? They were inspired by what Yoshua had built at Gilgal. Yoshua, when they got to Gilgal, made a Mizbeach. Now, granted, since that time, they had already made a Mishkan at Shiloh, but the Mizbeach at Gilgal remained standing. Not that they could use it, but it was there as a monument. So they figured that that was okay. If Yoshua was able to do it, granted it was before the Mishkan was made, but Yoshua did it, so too we can make it as well, as long as it's not for the purpose of offering korbanos. As long as you do that, then that should be perfectly fine. That was their smart. Okay, that was their smart. Yishmael b'nei Yisrael l'emor, and they heard, saying, "Hinei bo b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad Hashem Manasseh." As a Mizbeach on Mul Eretz Canaan, they built a Mizbeach on the side of Eretz Canaan, the rules of Yarden, right by the banks of the Jordan River, Lever Ben Israel. They immediately got angry. They heard the Lashon Hara. They didn't hear all the details. They didn't hear, oh, it's too big. They didn't hear it's on the Jordan, it's on the Israel side. They didn't hear that stuff. They said, Oive, they're trying to separate themselves from us, and they're trying to bring korbanos, right? And it's a whole group that's doing it. Some say that the reason why it says Ben Israel over here instead of Yoshua, is because they didn't even consult Yoshua. They immediately got up and they said, we have to fight them. We have to destroy them right now. A bunch of zealous people, zealots, get up. And they said, we got to do it right now. Yeshua ben Ezol ben Erub ben Gad ben Chatsh ben Menashe. El Eretz Gilad. They sent to the Eretz Gilad as Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. They sent Pinchas. That's our Nisim Yimah. They sent 10 princes with him. Nasi Yechon, Nasi Yechon, Beis Ov. One Nasi for every Beis Ov, the whole Nasi Yisrael for every tribe. Each was the Beis Ov of Hema, the Alvi Yisrael. Each was the head of the households of thousands of Bnei Yisrael. Number one, the reason why they wanted to send Pinchas is because he was a Kohen. And a Kohen is known for making peace. Number two, because he's also a man of war. If they're going to have to fight, then you want a guy like Pinchas around because Pinchas will be able to lead them in war. So Pinchas served a dual purpose to be able to go ahead. By Avol B'nei Reuven, this is in Pasuk Yutesvav. By Avol B'nei Reuven, they go B'nei Chatzish of Menashe. El Erzik Levi Dabru Tum Lim, when they spoke to them saying, Ko Amru Ko Adas Hashem, Mo Amal Adas Hashem, Alfam Be'lok Yisrael, why did you do this thing? L'shuva Yom Be'akor Hashem, to return today from behind that Kodesh Baruch Hu, after what God wants, B'nosechem Lachem, Mizbeach, L'mordechem Yom Be'Hashem, by building up a Mizbeach and rebelling against Hashem. Ma'at Lanu Azav Pa'or, what is it so small, the sin of the Pa'or, Shalom Yitaru Mimen, Wadi Yom Azeh, we're still not purified from V'yeh Negev Ba'Adas Hashem. This is going to cause a plague in Adas Hashem by bringing other things. In other words, we've already been involved with Avodah Zarah and getting involved in sacrificing wrongly. That's what Baal Peor was all about. And we had a plague immediately. We've lost so many people. We're still not cleansed because of that. And you're doing more?
Shouldn't they have counseled the Urim and Thummim before they did this? Or did they?
It seems that they didn't. But they sent in the message. They didn't go in for war. They sent in the message. I'm sorry. You have gone back from behind Hashem. If you've rebelled against Hashem today, then tomorrow all of an Israel will get angry. Remember, there's such a thing called a raven zelazah. It'll call Bnei Yisrael a raven zelazah. That every part of Bnei Yisrael is responsible for one another. You do this. If we don't make a macha, then we're immediately going to be punished. So you got to stop it. You got to do something about it right now. Then they said, listen, if the land that you're living in right now is so tummy, evil will come to Eretz Hashem. So come back. We have a Mishkan here. We will give you land within us. Don't rebel against God. And don't rebel against us by building for yourselves a Mizbeach, 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 Hashem, Elokeinu, aside from the Mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Achan ben Zerach Mo'am, Ma'al Bacherim, El Kol Adas Yisrael, Ha'yikotza. Just remember that Achan did something so small. He took a little bit of the spoils when he wasn't supposed to. And look what happened. All of Bnei Yisrael got anger. He was one man, but he did not die alone in that sin. Remember, Yorib ben Menashe died as well. You guys are 2.5 tribes that are doing such things.
Yes. In some respects, you're comparing apples to oranges.
No, there's no question that it's not really comparable to what Achan did, but what they're saying is that if somebody does a sin, then everyone will be held responsible for it. And that's all they're trying to say. So they didn't answer Pinchas. Either that was because that Pinchas wouldn't have to see this. Pinchas would know without even asking that their intentions were pure. Or number two, they were scared of Pinchas. They were honestly scared out of their minds of Pinchas and they couldn't answer him directly. Or number three, they understood that the real problem here was not Pinchas. The real problem was Bnei Yisrael. So they addressed Bnei Yisrael and they said the following. El Elohim Hashem, El Elohim Hashem. God of all gods is Hashem. The God of all gods is Hashem. The reason why they repeated it and the reason why they said it this way, they wanted to show him that absolutely we are behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole way through. Hu Yodea Yisrael Hu Yeda in the Merim B'Mal V'Hashem Al Tishenu Ayom Hazeh. He knows and Yisrael knows, right, that we are not rebelling, we are not sinning against God Al Tishenu Ayom Hazeh. That if that's what we're doing, then God should not save us on this day. We built a Mizbeach to turn from after Hashem. If it's to bring an Ola and a Mincha, or to make Zibcha Shlomen, you know what? Hashem will check it out. And Hashem knows that we weren't doing it for korban purposes. Maybe we did it out of worries. That's why we did this. Leimor saying, your children will say to our children, you're going to say, what do you guys have to do with God? Why are you guys trying to fight against God? God will put a border between between us, Ubein Echem, and between you, Ubein Reuben, and Ubein Gad. At the Arden, the Jordan River is between us. Eimachal Chelav Hashem, you have no portion in God, is what your children will say to us. And your children will keep away our children from fearing God or from being around God. But no manasa lanu is nasa no lanu. We said, you know what, let's make for ourselves. We're going to make a mizbeach, not for korbanos. Ki'edu b'neinu will be a witness between us, b'neichem, and between you. And between our generations after us to serve God. With all of our olos and zvachim and shlamim. Lo yomru b'neichem machor levaneinu. En lechem chalav Hashem. We don't want your children saying to us tomorrow, your children have no chelik in Hashem and no man. And we said, check out what the Mizbeach Hashem looks like. Chalila lanu mimenu minrod b'Hashem. May it be chalila from us to rebel against Hashem. Okay, that's what they were trying to say. They were trying to say, look, we never meant to do anything with this. We're just worried, and that was that. But they definitely had belief. And they said, it's this day we're 100% with you in everything you do. Now, Pasuk Lamed and Lamed Aleph. Yeah, what do you got?
The Moses
Rashi. Hello, Akan. Yeah, that's exactly what it's
more about the ending. Read it to the end.
Okay, that's what Apov Yishuv Levadavata. That's for sure that the idea behind it. Okay, but each month calls a coin to see that Rosh Alfi saw Ito at the Ramash Zebru Bene Ruben Gov Bene Asha, Baita Benehim. Came across the Nisim, the heads of Alfi Israel that were with them, they heard the words that Ruben Gov and Menashe said, Baita Benehim, and they were good. They thought it was 100%. Yomer Pinchas and the Lazar coin, Obene Ruben, Bene Gov, Bene Menashe, Yom Yadanu Kiv Sokhen O Hashem. Today we know that Hashem is with us, Shoma, Altam Hashem, Hamalazeh. You have not sinned against Hashem. Therefore, you have been saved from the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't do anything, and therefore everything was all good. And also, they saw that all three tribes said the exact same answer. They weren't making up their own. They clearly were in on it with all together. That showed that it wasn't a lie. It wasn't anything like that. They were trying to say it together, and they were living together in peace and everything. They realized, if they're living in peace, clearly there's no arguments over here. They're not arguing about this stuff. There's no need for us to get involved over here. Let them be. It seems like it's okay. Okay? They check out. Basically, that's what he's saying. They check out pretty well. But Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, Manasseh and Ben Reuben and Ben Gad, Meretz Gilad. So Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen and all the Manasseh from Ben Reuben and Ben Gad, they came back, Meretz Gilad, Eretz Canaan, El Ben Israel, Yeshiva, Osam Dover, and they returned to them and they told them back the word of what was going on. V'yitav HaDover Ben Ben Israel. So it was good. All the eyes Ben Israel, they all heard it. By Vokal Lukim Ben Israel, and they blessed them. They didn't want to go up and destroy it anymore. It's all good. Everybody rejoiced. Everybody was happy. It sounds like it's okay. Lamed Dalet. It was an awesome name. Because it is a witness between us that God is God. Great wording. Huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? That is that. So either way, others say that it's just aid, as in the ayin and the dalet, which is big in the word Shema. Shema Yisrael Shema Kenosh Shema Chod. And it's the ayin and the dalet, the witness that's right there. Okay. Chav Gimel. Perikav Gimel Pazigalo. Says me. This is where the remez is, by the way. It was after many days where Hashem had let them rest from all their enemies from around. Heiniach is the name of the guy that they fought. Yeshua is talking about the Yom. Yeshua was old. He was coming of days. He was old. He was 110. Yeshua called out to all the Bnei Israel, to his elders, to his heads of state, to his judges, Shotrov. I'm old now. You saw what God did to all these nations around you. Because God is the one that fought for you. It's not you. It's not you. It's me. It's not even me. It was God the whole time. Do not think that you guys did anything. I have knocked down these nations that remain as and all the goyim that I cut down by Yamagadim Bo Shemesh. And in the great sea, I guess you could say, all the way to the great sea, by the where the sun sets in the west. HaKadosh Baruch will drive them out from in front of you. And move them away from you. I guess that is drive them out. Right? You reach them into you will inherit their land, like HaKadosh Baruch had listened. The fact is, Yeshua was supposed to live for another 10 years. But because he didn't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, which is fight all the nations, he waited on that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to take you away 10 years early. And he lost 10 years of his life. He should have lived to 120 altogether. But that's that. But he did say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you the entire time, and you're going to conquer everything even after I'm gone. You don't have to worry about me being here or being gone. You're still going to get everything you need. You should be very strong and keep and do everything that's written in the Sefer HaTorah Moshe. You should not go to the right nor the left from what it says, meaning do not turn away from the Torah in any direction or anything like that. You should not go amongst the goyim that are remaining with you over here. But Shemuel Hamel says, few do not mention their names of their gods, right? Do not swear, do not serve them, and do not bow down to any of their gods. You've got to stick to God. Like you've done up until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has driven out from in front of you great and awesome nations. No man has stood in front of you until today. Every man of you has chased a thousand. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right there. Now, this does seem a little bit strange, but these are all precautions. He's trying to tell them, he's trying to prepare them. You're going to forget this. Right now, you're all into it because you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave you the land. But 20 years from now, no one's going to think that they got the land. Be very careful for your souls. You should love God. If you go back and you stick to those nations that remain, and you marry them, they come as amongst you and you upon them. You should surely know, he's not going to drive out these nations from in front of you. They're going to be a trap, a snare, and I don't even know what a shote is, maybe a rod that's on you, on your sides, and even thorns in your eyes, until you are totally lost from this land. That's what they're going to be for you. They're going to stay with you, and you're going to be impossible to go away. Same way you go to a briar bush, right, or a thorn bush, right? You try to get away, you get caught in snags. You don't want the thorns, but you got to walk through it. That's what these guys are going to be like for you, and unfortunately, you're going to go down because of it. You're going to lose it because of all that. Anyway, that's what he told them. I'm going in the way of all the land. You know with all your hearts and souls that not one thing from any of the things I tell you that God had said about you, you got everything. Not one thing was lost. So if the good things happened, you better believe they'll all be bad things can also happen. Until he can destroy you from the land. That's a weird word. Okay. Hashem has given you Pasuk Tet Zayin. Abraham is Brisa Hashem Alekechem because you were over on the Brisa Hashem. Shetziv Aschamad that He has commanded you. Velachem Avadim Alei Machirim. You have gone and served other idols. Vishach Vizlam. You bow down to them. Vechorach Hashem Alekechem. And God got angry at you. We will get angry at you. Vavadim Eirav Yala Arz. Etov Asher Nesan Lachem. Thou shalt surely be lost quickly from on the land, the good land that you have just had. This is pure, just like Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life gave them rebuke, gave them musr, and gave them brachos and help them. Yeshua is saying the exact same thing. Guys, this is going to be really, really bad. And the real reason why is because Yeshua knew there's no one who's going to take over. There's going to be the king. Many the king. But there's no one who's going to take over officially and become the king. That already is a bit of a pella. Why didn't Yeshua make a king?
Why was Pinchas passed over?
I mean, think of the coin double. So you can't be the king while you're the coin. It's very hard. Same with the Eliyah coin.
Why not?
You have jobs. You have jobs to do in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not easy to be a leader when you have to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So then I can actually hear a little bit why Pinchas wouldn't become king. But you mean to tell me there's nobody else? Khalid was still alive. Asmiel Ben Kenaz, still an awesome guy. So why didn't you have somebody like that?
He was learning all day.
But Asmiel Ben Kenaz ended up being the leader. He was the next leader of Klal Yisrael. There's nobody else.
Khalid then should have been the next one.
That's what you would assume. I would assume that Khalid would be the next guy, but no, didn't happen whatsoever. It's just very bad. He compared them to the trap used in catching fish, the Kanan. First, the fishermen put out food to attract the fish, but when they come, the fishermen drop the net upon the fish and they are caught. So that the Kanan would try to seduce them with gifts. Then they would entice them to worship their idols, and then they would overpower them and oppress them mercilessly. It would be like a rod beating their sides and thorns scratching their eyes. Finally, we drive the Jews back out of the land. These are the warnings that he is trying to tell them. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and this is what I'm telling you. It's going to happen. But they Israel didn't listen. Said, yeah, we'll be okay. Be okay.
The truth is, Bnei Israel shouldn't have had needed a leader, because up until that point, we were, you know, once we were in Egypt, once we left Egypt, and once we got to here, we were a wandering nation without a homeland, without a structure, without anything. So we needed guidance with Moshe, we needed guidance with Yeshua to take us there. But once we got there, once we
had, shouldn't need a leader.
Once we had the Mishkan, once we had everything set up, everybody had their own portion that theoretically should, things should have run as they.
I think that's what the king is going to do. Because you're right, theoretically. Realistically, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but realistically, it should have been the case. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't have.
People weren't ready for it.
Everything was set up, though.
The answer is that people weren't ready for it. We see clearly that people weren't ready for it. In fact, we're going to see that the kingdom die very soon. It's not going to be good. That's how Yeshua was called Shiv to Yisrael Shechem. Yeshua brought all of Bnei Yisrael, they brought him to Shechem. Yehuda Zikne Yisrael L'Roshov, L'Shoftov, L'Shoftov, Yisatul Zikne Elohim. He called out to the Zikanim, and the heads, and the Shoftim, and the officers, and he stood them in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the first time, last parak, he gathered them together on his own initiative. This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them together, and he wanted to give them a message specifically. And that's why it says they stood before Hashem. Yisatul Zikne Hashem. Okay, that is that. That's the idea behind it. There's also a little bit why it's got to be at Shechem specifically. I think it's because the Aron was right there, and it had to be by Ephraim and Manasseh to make sure. And also it was a connection with Yoshua, because we know that Yoshua lived, was from Shevet Ephraim.
That's what it says down here, that the Aron was there.
That makes sense. But Yom Yoshua Kolom, Kol Hashem Elokei Yisrael Be'Evar Anor Yoshua B'Seif Me'Elom. So we should recognize this from Pesach. This is from the Haggadah. Yoshua said to all the people, so says God Elokei Yisrael, on the other side of the Jordan River, Yoshua B'Seif Me'Elom. That's where your fathers have lived forever. Terach Avi Abraham, Bavi Nahor, Terach the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor. Nahor, remember, we're missing Haran over here. A little bit of Akasha, why we don't mention Haran. But it's somewhat of an easy answer. We need to think about that. Why don't we mention Haran? We mentioned that Terach, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor. The point is that Haran died. His only two kids that lived were Lot, who became Moab and Ammon, right? And Sarah and Milcah, yeah! I should say. Sarah and Milcah, Sarah married Abram. You know what Milcah married? Nahor. And that's really what it is. So we're not going to mention Hara. They served other gods. Not only, I mean, obviously Abram didn't, but every other person from the family did. And it took out Abram from the other side of the Jordan River. And it brought him to Eretz Canaan. The Arbe Ezaro, is that correct?
The Arbe.
The Arbe Ezaro, but that's not spelled correctly. It's missing a hey.
Right.
I multiplied his children, but and then I gave him Yitzchak. The shot behind that is the reason why it's missing the hey, because it would read, the Ariv means, and I fought, meaning I argued. This is the argument that would arise between Yitzchak and the other children of Avram Avinu that did not follow in Avram's footsteps. They worshipped idols. And that's the idea. The Arba Ezaro, I made many children, but I made them fight against each other.
That means Asim, right?
Yishmal. Yishmal and the Bnei Keturah. Midyan and Midon and Yishpak and Shuach and all those guys. Those are the guys right over there. Another argument alluded to here is the final argument between God and the descendants of Yishmal at the times of the of Mashiach. That's what's going to happen. That's what it's going to be. The lost level, there's going to be a Mashiach. And that's the Arbe. I will in the future cause there to be a big argument. But I think Yitzchak is Yaakov. I'm still from the Haggadah. I gave Yitzchak Yaakov as Esau. But I think Yitzchak is Harseir, the Rosh of Yaakov, one of Yodim Mitzrayim. I gave Esau Harseir. And because of that, Yaakov and his children had to go down to Mitzrayim. Because they went down to Mitzrayim, thus they get to be Zophah to the line of Eretz Yisrael. Somebody had to do it in order to go down. First of all, the other reason why we mention Jesus physically is too, that shows you how great Yaakov was. He grew up in such a house where he had a brother, a twin brother, who was so evil, and nonetheless Yaakov became the person that he was, the greatest of all the others. That's the idea behind it and stuff like that. Okay, I sent Moshe and Aaron, right? I plagued Mitzrayim like I did, right, with the, you know, when I was amongst them. And then afterward I took them out. I took out your fathers from Mitzrayim, Yaman, I brought them over to the Yamsuf. They chased after the Barakah Bafrosh from Yamsuf in chariots and horses. And they cried out to Hashem, and he put darkness between you, Ben Mitzrayim, between the Egyptians. The other love of the Yaman, he brought the sea upon them, and he covered them up. You saw with your very own eyes that which I did to Egypt. And you lived in the desert for many, many days. So it is a little bit weird. It says, and after that I took you out. None of these guys went out of Mitzrayim. Maybe the old fogies. This is 64 years later.
There were some leftovers.
54 years later. I understand, there were some. But saying, I took you out, is not a correct statement.
Hey, Colorism Zelazet. Doesn't matter.
Colorism Zelazet is a very punishment that if one guy does something, then everybody gets punished.
So what? They're all in it together.
All
the same.
But I can't say, I took you out. I took them out. That's what it is. I took your fathers
the
out.
Royal
I took you out. That's that. But it's the remez. You know what the remez is? Cold of a door, chayiv adam, liros is atmo, yotim mitzrayim. And that's it. You gotta see yourself as if you leave Mitzrayim. And that's it to do right over here. You did leave Mitzrayim. You don't remember? You did it last Pesach. That's what it is. Every Pesach you left Mitzrayim. That's the idea behind it. Others say that they did refer to the children that were born during the period of persecution that were thrown into the river and thrown into the fields. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles with them, and some of them were swallowed up by the ground, right? And then they came up later and they were sprouted out like plants and they were living. And those are the people. You know where we get that from? Hamalacha Goalosimi Kura Yivarechas and Aram Yikar. No, wait, hold on. Hamalacha Goalosimi Kura Yivarechas and Aram Yikar. Shemot Avram Yisov. The Yidgu Laro. That's where the Medrash is. They should grow to be many, the Karev Aret, in the midst of the land. That the children were born in the midst of the land. That's what the Medrash says. That is awesome, Medrash. That's how Stacey at the time. I brought you out. I took you out of the ground. Literally, I took you out of the ground, and that's what it was. And from the river itself.
Even I reached you.
Those little children, by the way, I ran into the sea with complete trust when I come to told them to go in.
So then it wasn't
not him into another.
Yeah.
He went in first. He might have been one of the kids. I have no idea.
After that.
You never know. You never know. On Midi Kenegamido, we know what happened with the Mitzrayim. Okay, here we go. Right, there's a hey there though, right? Then I brought you over to that land of the Amori that was sitting on the other side of the Jordan River. They fought with you. Those Ogin Sikhum, and I put them into your hands. You inherited, you drove out their land, you inherited their land, and I destroyed them from in front of you. This week's Parsha. Look at that. Moloch ben Sipor gets up. Melach Moab, you welcome these only which war against the Jews. He called out to Bilam to go curse you out. And I did not want to listen to a guy by the name of Bilam. Instead, he blessed you, right, and I saved you from his hands. And that's what ended up happening with Bilam. Good call. Look on the very first paragraph over here. It says the following. The word I brought is written with an extra letter, a hey, as if it was feminine instead of masculine. The reason why is because the Shechina is feminine. It was with them all the time, even when they were outside Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the numerical value of the word spelled Ve'avia is 15, which is equal to the number of cities that the 2.5 tribes built there. That was the idea behind them. So the Shechina was with them at all times, the feminine, so to speak. Shechina was with them at all times, even when they were outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it says the word Ve'avia is feminine. I brought them out to over there. This is good stuff. Check this out. Moloch had a magical bird called the Yadua. Okay, I don't want to talk about the Yadua right now, but which is why he was called Moloch ben Tzipor, which means bird. He sent this bird to the north, to the mountains of darkness, by the way, it's south. By the way, to a land called Gilui Enayim, which means uncovered eyes. Moloch hoped that by doing this, the secrets of the occult arts would be revealed to him. But when the bird returned, a flame was chasing after it and burning its wings. He understood this as a sign that no magic would be able to have power over the Jewish people. Then he went to Bilam. Even though Moloch was more clever than the two, Moloch was a greater astrologer. That's not a good call. Bilam was a greater astrologer. Bilam had the ability to, what's it called, to curse and to bless better than Moloch ever did. But Moloch was the king magician. In fact, some say that he was able to see inside the birds from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and this is Parsha, be able to see inside the eyes of the bird anything that happened in the future. And that's why it says, Vayar Moloch ben Tzipor. He saw from the bird, as Kosher also, he saw old Amori, everything that Bnei Israel did to the Amori. Pretty cool little line.
Yeah.
That's the great part behind it. Everybody thought that the reason why Bnei Israel was so successful was because they had an absolutely massive army. Now, it is true. They had 600,000 people in their army, not including the Erevrav. The Erevrav were huge. There might have been 1.2 million Erevrav, just men, that were standing around with Klal Yisrael. That's an awesome army, no matter how you look at it. And maybe that's the reason why they were successful. But Balak knew better. He knew that it had nothing to do with their army. He saw that it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu that was fighting for them. And therefore, because of that, he knew that they had to go a little bit away. He knew he wasn't going to be able to attack Bnei Israel because God was going to be with them. But if they cursed them, and that's the difference between them. I will tell you, that's the difference. That's the compliance between a Jewish way of thinking and a non-Jewish way of thinking. Jewish way of thinking, you need something, right? So what do? You go to a gadol and you ask for a bracha. The non-Jewish way of thinking, you need something, you try to curse another person.
So they don't get it and you do?
Exactly. That's what you try to do. It's an unbelievable way of thinking. Unbelievable way of thinking. So the Chafetz Chaim, that's the shop you see them. Somebody told me of Victor Miller
also.
But feel for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Forget the going to the gadol. I mean, you can just do it that way.
That is 100%. He gave him 10 curses, then it goes into the curses anyway. But that's what it says over here. So he brought over Bilam.
So this
Baruch Hu blessed it instead. Yeah.
This narrative is literally the first Haggadah, like the first Pesach.
Well, yeah, this part is not in there, but yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, that's where it ended, right?
But that's what it was.
It would have been neat. I was looking around to see if this time of year was Nisan.
It probably was. I don't know when Yoshua died. When did Yoshua die? I'm sure if I looked up the Yishet and Achav tell us when he died, but it might have been around then. But Tavro is the argument of Yericho. You cross over the Jordan River, you came to Yericho, and you know that the people of Yericho fought with you. And I gave them into your hands. What's funny over here, what's interesting over here, is that it mentions the Girgashi. The Girgashi ran away. The Girgashi ran away to Africa. And they did not fight against Bnei Israel, which makes it very, very weird. Also, when did Yericho fight them? It seemed that they walked into Yericho and they just destroyed the entire city. We don't see them ever fighting Yericho. It's got to be that it's referring to the Battle of the Five Kings afterwards. Maybe somehow the king of Yericho survived and went out with them. Maybe that's what ended up happening. But there's no way. They did not actually kill. They didn't actually fight the people of Yericho. It can't mean that way because that's not what they happened. Okay, that's that. And it could be also that they considered Yericho as being the defense of their land. So they were all known as the people of Yericho. I sent in front of you the hornet. Let's go to somebody, Nechem, that drove out from in front of you. It took away Sichon and Og, the two kings of Amori, not with your sword, not with your bow. I gave you a land that you didn't even try for. Cities that you didn't even build. You ate from vineyards and olive places that were not there. Now the kasha is, number one, isn't that out of order? Sichon and Og were already defeated way beforehand.
And we already mentioned it.
Yeah, so why in the world did you say that? Yoshua just reminded them, right, because the wasps had helped them twice. One was by Sichon and Og. That by Sichon and Og there was something over there. But there was another swarm of wasps that came when the Canaanim fought against them. When the Canaanim were ready to attack them, those wasps came and they started, either according to one opinion, they spit poison from the other side of the Jordan River straight across into the eyes of the Canaanim, or there was another swarm that came with them into Eretz Yisrael itself. Others say Sira does not mean a hornet. It means Saras. Everyone of the other nations were afflicted with Saras.
They're a non-kosher animal anyways.
But there's a purpose for everything. You know what the purpose of a wasp is? It's to be able to knock out people from a certain area or keep them away. The Gemara says that there was a bee, right? What's the purpose of the bee? It's actually not a Gemara. It's a Sefer Ben Sira asked, what's the purpose of a bee? And he said when David HaMelech was trying to get near Shaul HaMelech and Avner Ben Ner was sitting right by him. His leg was right in front of David HaMelech, and a wasp came and bit or stung Avner Ben Ner in the leg, and he lifted up his leg so that David HaMelech could get through. That clears the path. That's what a wasp does. The famous line is that also, I read this in reviews of Zilberstein's Alina Shabbat, the great story. A bunch of Haredim were in a cab going from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. The cab driver wasn't religious, right? Do you remember this? And he said to them, they said, Tfilas Kederach, and the cab driver said to them, right, what do you guys think Tfilas Kederach for? He told them, whatever. So he heard it, and afterward he said, listen, I understand, you know, why you're saying all this, but why would you mention Chayos Gross, Hanis Rakshas of Olam? Evil animals? This is one one of their evil animals that are going to get us on the road. So that, you know, the guys never thought about it. So they said, you know, offhand, they were just like, well, it means crazy drivers. It's cute, right? But the guy's like, no, that's not shot. Cab drivers, that's not shot. So it's shot. Sentinel. It's a reference. And that was, so later on in the car drive, they had their windows open. A massive hornet came in and started flying around the car. The cab driver immediately turned to the side. They jumped to the side. They jumped out and they opened up all the doors, right? And eventually the hornet flew out. But somebody turned over to the kid, turned over to the guy, and they were just like, "Chaos!" He's out of your area. The Ato, in Pasuk Yudal in Tezvot, "Vati Yerus Hashem Yivdu Oiso Yibesomnu Ve'emez." You should fear God and serve Him in perfection and in truth. Yes, it was only Masher Avdu Avoseichem. You should remove the gods that your fathers have served. They are now from Mitzrayim Yivdu Hashem. They're on the other side of the Jordan River, the river, and in Mitzrayim, and you serve God instead of Him. Rabbein Eichel Avdu Hashem. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve God, then choose for yourselves today who you're going to serve. Do you want to serve the gods that your original fathers did on the other side of the Jordan River? Or the gods in the Mori that you're living in their lands? It's like a little. And I, in my house, I know I'm going with God. But you guys can decide whatever you want to do. And that was their Moshe. Oh my gosh. Shalom. We forsake God. Lavado him acherim. Do you think we would go and serve other gods? Keshav Elokim. Keshav is our God. Who amal o'san v'etim v'sen v'in Eretz Yisrael. He brought us out in our fathers from Eretz Yisrael v'in Beis Avodim. She'osel l'enein was osel z'gedol lo ma'ila. He made in front of our eyes these great signs. V'yishmeinu v'chol ha'derech asher alachnu bo. Then he has kept us on the road that we have walked on. V'chol ha'amil asher avanu v'kir bo. And by all the other nations that we have passed by. V'yagar Shem is kol ha'amil v'et al-mori yoshev ha'aretz v'ipanenu. Hashem has driven out all the other nations, the al-mori that are sitting in this land. We will serve the Lord. Because He is our God. Now, they insisted, these people. They insisted. We can keep these, you know, the little gold and silver idols that they have. We're just like it as art, as adornment in our house. It's fine. We don't have to worry about them. They're not going to have anything. They gave, like, several arguments. Number one, they're false gods. We know they're false gods. We know we have a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We don't have to worry about them whatsoever. Number two, they're never going to worship angels or anything like that. They realize that a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't have representations in this world. And that's that. He's only a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's no way that we're going to fall to that. We don't have to worry about intermediaries to be between our prayers. But Yeshua turned to the people and said, don't think that it's going to be so easy for me. I'm Yeshua Allah. This is a Pasuk Yutes. Don't think that it's going to be so easy for you to serve God. He is a holy God and a zealous God. He will not forgive you for your sins.
I know he's not zealous. Jealous, no?
Yeah, but I would call him zealous because he's ready to destroy if he needs to. That's one that it would say. When you forsake God and you serve those strange gods, He will do even more bad things to you. He will destroy you after doing such good things to you. That was Mamish harsh words. You're not going to be able to do it. You won't be able to. No! We will serve God. You have witnesses today. You have chosen God to serve Him. And they said, Adam, we will do so. Then remove the strange gods that are amongst you. And turn your hearts instead to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. We'll serve God of the whole and Yishan will listen to His voice. He made them another bris. They made another bris. Yet a third bris. In which it's happened that they had in Har Sinai. They had in Arvos Moav. And finally, at the very, very end, when Moshe Rabbeinu made them promise at the very end that they were going to do everything, that was really the tochacha in Bechul Kosai and the tochacha in Kisavo. If you do good, then God will reward you. If you do bad, then bad things will happen to you. And Yeshua is doing it a third time right over here, and that's that. Some say the Edom that He really wanted them to do was the heavens and the earth. That if you guys do well, then the heavens will give you rain, and the earth will give you produce. And if not, then there will be no rain, and there will be no produce. So it's up to you guys. If you do it good, and if not, they are the Edom, and they're going to prove it to you whether or not everything is all good. Okay, that's really that. There's a whole big thing that, like, here, I'll tell you this little story over there. Time in the Talmud, there were heretics who did not believe in the unity of God. They're always trying to find proofs from the Bible that He consists of several beings joined together. Once one of the heretics asked Rabbi Samloy about the phrase, "He is a holy God," meaning it says, "He Elohim Kedoshim Hu." He is holy gods. So he asked them, and he says, you should say holy and God in plural. You should translate it, they are holy gods. If that were the case, says Rabbi Simoy, then the first word, he, should also be in a plural. Say, lo suchu lavaris Hashem, ki Elohim kidoshim, who? Shouldn't have said the word, he. It should be Haim, Kilim, Kedoshim, Haim. That's what it should be. Furthermore, it continues in the singular, he is a jealous God, El Kano, who? And that's singular, right? It can refer to none other than God who is one. After the heretics had left, Rabbi Simoy's student said, you refuted the argument, but you didn't answer the question. They had come to contradict the Torah, so refutation was all that was necessary, but we, your students, want to understand the true meaning of the verse. Why is it written as Elohim, Kedoshim? It should be Aloha Kadosh. That's what it should be. The reason these words on the pole is that God has many kinds of holiness. Whatever he does is holy. What he speaks, his speech is holy. When he reaches out to help us, that is also holy. And all that he is awesome and mighty, he is holy. The meaning of God's holiness is that he is separate and removed from all of creation. Although he appears to be doing many things, he is really above them all. Everything that he does involves another kind of separation. So the more he does, the holier he is. That's all it is. That's the idea behind it. Okay, here we go. He wrote it in Sefer Torah Elokim. This is not this Sefer HaTorah, Chas V'Shalom, right? Yes. It cannot be somewhere else. It's rather going to be the sixth Torah. That's going to be the sixth Sefer of the Torah. He took a huge stone, and he put it there underneath the oak tree of Mikdash Hashem, near the holy area of Hashem. It should be our witness. It heard all the words of Hashem that he spoke with his voice. This should be your aid, just in case you should forget. That's another thing. Okay, it could be that this is when he wrote the final eight psukim of the Torah.
That's what we all know.
Okay, so that's possible that it's what they were there.
There's a machlokas in where is it? Makos.
Yud Aleph. It's a big question. Makos? No. Shem Tov Basra. Yud Dalet. What did you say? Oh, it's referring to this pasuk. Yeah, but the real machlokes is over there in Balabasra. That's the real machlokes. This is just referring to what it was. Either way, it could be that he added on other things as well. Either way, regardless, and this sefer is definitely known as the Sheish. You know, as it says, Boshesh Moshe, Lerez Minahor. He waited to come down the mountain. Boshesh is Boshesh. He brought six farm, and the sixth sefer was sefer Yeshua. That was really what it was supposed to be. Okay, that is that. Right. So you put it right behind it. Okay, and he put all of Yeshua. That was that, and good enough. Okay, that was the stone monument that he put on top of it. He wrote down all the words of the Torah on top of it. So he sent all the people back to where they were supposed to be. Right? They did bury everybody where they were supposed to be. Reuben and Gad were buried in the eastern side of the Jordan River near the city of Rumaya. Shimon was buried in Medeva, Yehuda and Savia, which is near Beis Lechem. Yisachar and Zvulun Sidon Rabbah on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Some say it is near Yafo. Zvulun's grave is covered with a roof and it's situated not far from a large synagogue. They buried Dan and Eshtaol, Naphtali and Asher and Kedesh. Benyamin was buried in Yerushalayim opposite the Yebusim. That's when they were all buried. He died at the age of 110. That was the end of Yoshua's Sefer right there. I don't even know if he wrote 24, 28, if he wrote Pasuk Chavches. But in Chavches, it says he died at 110. 10 years. He was buried in Timnath Serach on Har Ephraim, the north of Har Gosh. That's what he was buried over there. He was probably buried near his father. His father's name obviously was Nun, right? Something like that, and that's the idea behind it. Near their graves, there are two beautiful trees, a fig tree and a carob tree. There's a volcano that erupted on the day of his burial. Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the people that did not eulogize him properly, like they should have, for the stature of what Yoshua was like. And that's why it says there's no mention over here. Do you see anything about them eulogizing him? See anything about them crying for him? Not at all. Even though obviously they did, and obviously he deserved it and everything like that, but nonetheless it doesn't say anything whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. It didn't actually erupt, but it should have. They all should have died. What did end up happening, unfortunately, is that the Zakenim died very, very quickly. And that's a very, very sad thing. Anyway, regardless. Then it goes into Rabbi Bar Nachmani and how Rabbi Bar Nachmani died, which is a little bit strange. I'm not so sure what exactly the what's it called? Yeah, the connection is over here. But it's important to have eulogy trees, right, at that time. Okay, that right there. Ma'yavud Yisrael Hashem koyimei Yoshua b'koyimei Zekeinim Asher Arichu Yomim Acho Yoshua. B'nei Yisrael served HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of Yoshua and all the days of Zekeinim that lengthened their days after Yoshua. B'asher Yadu was Kol Ma'aseh Hashem Asher Asal Yisrael. They knew every good thing that God had done for B'nei Yisrael. So no matter what he tried to do, two generations later is when they started to go astray. It was just too much for them. They got really into all the idols all around them. They got really into all that stuff. It was really, really bad. Some say because the Zekeinim did not mourn him properly, they only lengthened their days after Yeshua. Literally, everyone died right after Yeshua died. The bones of Yosef that they had brought up in Esau from Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem. In the area that he had already bought, the Yosef became their Nachla. Of course, now it belongs to the Arabs. Of course. The laws of Aaron made, so you could also be given Pinchas Beno, Trinity to Lavarfine. The laws of Aaron died, and he was buried in Givas Pinchas, his son, that was given to him in Arafine. He was buried right there in that area as well. Oh, see, Yosef did that. We all know what ended up happening with Yosef being buried and his bones taken out and everything like that. So we don't have to go into, you know, Sarah telling Moshe Rabbeinu where to find it, and Moshe Rabbeinu brings it around and stuff like that.
Rashi says that Pinchas inherited. His portion was taken away, and it was he inherited from his wife.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening. We're going to mention that over here. You should just know the Rishash used to go with his servant every night to mourn the destruction of the temple and beg God to have mercy and rebuild it soon. There was a wicked goy who lived nearby. He hated all holiness and piety. You cannot bear to see the righteous praying at that holy place. One morning, he confronted the Rishash and said, "Go away and don't come back again. If you ever come back, I will kill you. Not invite you for dinner, but kill you." The Rishash was a man of great faith and trust. God had already performed miracles for him. The following night, he got up as usual and said to his servant, "Come, let us go. Don't be afraid. God will protect us." They went. The man was waiting for them with his sword drawn. When he saw them approaching, he raised his sword in rage, and suddenly his arm froze. He could neither move it up nor down. The Rishash and his servant passed by peacefully and went to pray at their accustomed spot. Meanwhile, the would-be murderer was left standing with his hand in the air. He was forced to send his friends to the Rishash to beg for mercy and forgiveness. So many years after that, Goy dared interfere with the Jews who came to pray at the Western Wall. Instead, they gave them annual contributions and taught their children to treat them with peace. Gotta love that altogether, but that is the end of Sefer Yoshua. Of course,
each other.
Come on, what did you expect?
With each other.
Of course, dude. They're freaking on each other. Those are that. Where are we right now? How much? We have like 5 minutes left. We can start off Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim is obviously about the judges. This is the period after Yeshua died. Now there's a machlokus what the first part of Shoftim was. Does Shoftim really start over here at the end of Parak Aleph, or does it start really with the last part? When exactly did Pesach Micha, and when exactly did the Pelegish Begiva happen? Some say it was right now, right after Yeshua and the Zekeinim were dead, before Othniel ben Kenaz became in charge. That's when the Pelegish Begiva, and that's when Pesach Micha ended up happening. Others say no, it happened all the way there, the very end, by the times of Shimshon and Eli and things like that. But
I said it would make sense if it happened now, because we just heard that they succumbed to all the temptation.
The typos were right there. They did succumb later on also, but definitely was at the time. There's some weird things that happened. Also would make sense, because in Pesach Micha, remember, the whole thing was that Dan was looking for more land. It makes sense that he was looking for more land at around this time. That's what ended up happening to him. Let's start off. Aleph and Shoftim. It says the Echlei Mos Yoshua B'Yishalom B'nei Yisrael B'Hashem Leimor. So after Yoshua died, B'nei Yisrael Asa Hashem Sayim Mi'ala Lanu Asakanani Batzchilu Lachem Bo. Alright, who's going to fight the Canaan first? What are we going to do? We got to drive out the rest of them. We got to get rid of everybody. So who's going to fight? Vayam Hashem Yehudi Yala. Let Yehuda go up first. And in Asakiz Ars B'Yado, I have given the land into his hands. So Machlokas, if this is Shevet Yehuda, who's going to fight first? And everybody goes with him. Or if this is referring to a guy by the name of Yehuda, whose brother was Shimon. Vayam Yeshua
Hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
Who's talking to God?
Pinchas, most probably. But they, because they went through the Urim and Tumim. That's what it's going to be. He said to you, Shimon, his brother. Again, could be the Shevet, could be a brother. Ali Iti Begorali, come with me in my Goral. Right? Let's fight against the Kanani. And I will go with you in your Goral. And Shimon went with him, and they fought. Now, it makes sense that it would be Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon, because we all know that they fought the cities together. They had their cities together. Yehuda went out. Hashem gave the Kanani the priest in their hands. says, well, Mish, they killed them in a city called Bezek, 10,000 men. So it's Adoni Bezek, the Bezek. They found Adoni Bezek in Bezek. Bilak Mobon, they were to war against them. Yaakov was Canaan in this prison. They killed the Canaan in the prison that were there. But Yonas Adoni Bezek, I don't know why the prison were there. Maybe the prison came to help toward the end. But Yonas Adoni Bezek, they chased after him. Yaakov also, they grabbed him. They cut so his bone as the other Baraglov. And they cut off the thumbs of his hands and feet. Now, before you ask why were they so cruel, you have to know the next pasuk. Yonas Adoni Bezek, Shivim Malachim. There were 70 kings whose thumbs of their hands and feet were cut, and they used to collect scraps underneath my table. That's what I used to do. What I did, that's my Mida Kenei Mida given back to me by God. He died there. It could be he died as a Baal Tshuva. Did he understand what Mida Kenei Mida was? And that's what they ended up doing. Let's stop with that for right now. We'll stop at the beginning, wherever there was cuts.